May God use His Word today in your heart so that you may leave this place feeling how powerful God's Word is. If you're visiting with us today, we certainly appreciate your presence. We hope that you will sign a visitor's card. And you, I'm sure, who are here on a regular basis are aware that if you have a request for one of the elders or all of us, that we will be glad to deal with that. Have a couple of things that have to do with housekeeping. A young guy in Idaho who has since retired because he's old enough. I knew him when he was 12 years old. He is an elder now and the largest congregation in the state of Idaho. And he's always saying we need to do some housekeeping before we do the other things. Well, there's a little bit of housekeeping here that I hope you will appreciate and remember. And then we're going to talk about the Word of God. I appreciate so much the songs that we had our song leader direct us in today. They were so appropriate, and you will realize that as we go through the lessons. I want to remind you of a number of the sermons that some of you have heard if you were not able to get here. Today, there are a few people, I'm sure, who forgot to set their clocks right, so they didn't make it. That's a good excuse, maybe. But we're glad you're here, and I pray that God will bless you as we study together. If you did not know, my name is Herman Pope. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a message for you from the Word of God, which is able to deliver us from this world. I cannot thank a special friend of mine. I'm thinking about whether I'm going to call her name or not. I went around hugging people. I do that sometimes. And suddenly this person showed up and said, "You might need these glasses." Believe me, you're the one who needs the glasses, because I'd be flying blind with these close-up words if I didn't have these glasses. They are extremely expensive. I spent $1 for these glasses at the dollar store. And they have to do me until I have eye surgery later this month, God willing, for cataracts. But I really think a lot of them right now. I can see you just fine, but these close-up words are hard to see. Now, I'm not going to go beyond the time limit that I have set, and it's not 12 o'clock. But anyway, maybe 12:30. You know me better than that. I have a lesson for you, but also I would like to tell you that if it were possible, tonight I would project a picture on the wall, like we do with the machine, of a shepherd in Idaho, in the mountains, and 1,000 sheep. I'll do my best to describe it to you, but it's important for the lesson tonight. We talk about the shepherd and him taking care of the sheep. And you remember that Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." As one of the shepherds for this congregation, I'm very much aware of that. And so are the brethren who serve with me. But we'll talk about that tonight. And then one other thing that we don't have time to talk about this morning in this lesson is the sword. We're going to start with that idea. And someone has done some research that I never had time to do until I gave my library away. And so guess who did the research? Well, we'll find out tonight. But let's talk about where we've been, and then we want to talk about where we're going. I have presented lessons. The first one, when we began this business of endeavoring to get this church equipped with shepherds, was lordship, leadership, fellowship, and fellowship. All of these are necessary. If you don't remember the lesson, it's probably because you were somewhere else. Then I talked about our words and our destiny. How our words determine where we're going. And then the last lesson that I presented before this one was love, the heart of the matter. And use John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 13, and James chapter 3. Today I would like for us to look at the foundation, because the foundation on which we build our faith is so important. Jesus talked about the wise man and the foolish man. And little children know that song, and we've sung it for years. The wise man built on the rock, the foolish man built on the sand. What is our faith built upon? It must be built upon the rock, or it doesn't matter what we do. So, let's be aware of that as we talk about the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul is talking about equipping ourselves to serve God. And he said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The weapon to conquer sin in the lives of people is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Well, the Word of God is what God says. Jesus said in John 12:48, he who rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The words that I've spoken shall judge him in the last day. Did you ever take a test? You know, if you're going to pass a test, you need to know the answers. Jesus said, if you reject me, do not receive my words, then you will be condemned for not obeying me. So the Word of God is so important for us. We must obey God if we're going to go in the right direction. And although I am not specifically speaking for the eldership here, we have discussed this matter, and we will be sharing with you as individuals. You see, I'm handicapped. I'm a preacher, and I've been doing this for 67 years. But I still do not have the power, nor the words, nor the wisdom, to speak for each of the elders. But we are together, and we want to know where you want to go. Are we going to follow God's word? Are we going to live by the word of God? We're saying to you, and I can say this, we want you to talk to us. That picture that I am going to try to draw for you tonight illustrates that. You cannot lead someone who will not follow. It is important that this fellowship, which probably isn't a correct word, but we'll just invent it and put it in the dictionary anyway. There has to be the fellowship. There has to be people who are willing to follow. And if we are to lead as bishops, as shepherds, we must have your support. We know that. And we ask for that. And we ask for prayers. When I lost my glasses this morning, I was hugging a couple of people that really need our support. But I need your support all the time. And if you don't hug me, it's your choice. I only hug people that hug me, because there are people who don't like to be hugged, and so I just hug them with my eyes as I go by. We had this wonderful reading about Jesus. In John chapter 1, as the reading goes, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All the things that were made through Him. Nothing has been made that was not made by Him. In Him was the light of the world. He came into the world. Those who were supposed to receive Him didn't, but He is the light. And the darkness cannot put out the light." You may or may not have come into this auditorium when it was night and no lights were on. You might think you know how to walk through here in the dark, but I assure you, you'll run into a pew or something else that you didn't know was in the way. But the light gives us the ability to see. I have a little flashlight that's about that long, takes one small battery, and it lights up this whole auditorium. It doesn't take but a very small amount of light. And it doesn't matter how much darkness you have. There's not enough darkness in the world to put out one tiny light. And that's what John chapter 1 is telling us. That Jesus came into the world. He is the light of the world. Verse 14 says, the Word, and we're going to look at that some tonight, God willing. The Word, L-O-G-O-S, a person, became, that's a verb, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's verse 14 in John 1. We saw the light because God sent the light for us to be able to see. In Ephesians 6:17, Paul says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you're going to fight a battle, you need to have the weapon to win. And that is the sword of the Spirit. We'll talk about that more tonight, God willing. In Luke 8:11, the word is called the seed in the parable. Now there's more than one description of the parable, but in Luke 8:11, he says the seed is the word of God. You have to have the weapon to fight the battle. Then you have to plant the seed, and the seed is the word of God. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, he says, more than that, because they were saying, blessed are you, he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I've talked to people who said, preacher, you can't tell me anything. I was raised by people who went to the church. They went to church every Sunday. They taught me right and wrong, and I know all the answers. But I'm not going. And you can't convince me to go. Most of the time they were right. I didn't convince them. I've seen elders literally cry because they tried to get someone to remember and to do what they knew was right. But Jesus said, blessed are those who do what is right. In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, and I remember this passage from so many times, but I would like once again to share it with you. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the next verse says there's nothing hidden from God, because the Word of God is so powerful that it penetrates. I'm wrestling with time, and time's going to win, probably, but we'll see. But I have to tell you about this. There was a man years ago in his early 40s. His son was a teenager and had been baptized. This was in the wonderful state of Arkansas. This man came and listened and listened, and we're getting close to the end of a 10-day meeting. Wouldn't you hate to have to listen to a preacher for 10 days in a row? But he came. We're getting down to the end. And I never, in my practice with people, ever put pressure on anybody. I didn't go out and say, you need to be baptized tonight. Wisdom says that was right, and I'll tell you about it some other time, maybe. But his wife said, Herman, he really wants to become a Christian. You have taught him from the Word of God what he needs to do. But he was raised, and she named what religion he was raised in. And he's having a real struggle. I broke my rule and went out to talk to him for just a little while. And I told him I was breaking the rule, that it was his choice. And I left him not knowing whether he was going to obey the gospel or not. But that night, about 5 or 7 minutes before my time was up, I looked out and he took off his watch and gave it to his wife. I had a hard time finishing. I did. But he was baptized. He made the decision. And it was the Word of God that pierced his heart and told him, this is what God wants you to do. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have discussions about the soul and the spirit. But look at that verse. We'll look at it again tonight. In the First Thessalonian letter, Paul tells that the Thessalonians, he says in verses 5 through 7, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. This is what the Word of God does. The power of the Word of God. And I'm saying to you that if we leave the Word of God, that's when we're lost. It doesn't matter what we do, how much good we do. If we do not live and practice the Word of God, we will be lost. Jesus came so that we could be saved from our sins. It is so important for us to follow Christ, to do His will. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're coming down to what we're going to get today. Paul writes to Timothy. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But watch in all things. Do your work. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word. I'm telling you that I've been devoted to preaching the word of God for all of these years. I do not know how much longer that I will do that. But I know that I could lose my crown that God has prepared for me, and so could you. If we do not stay in the Word of God, and we need to be willing to challenge people who may go out of the world. There are some other passages that I would like to share with you, but it's so important for us to remember the power of God. Peter says to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says of our faith, verse 23 and 24 of 1 Peter chapter 1, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then he quotes from Isaiah in verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. These are some thoughts that I give you from the Word of God. Let's stay within the Word of God. Now, you know, I have opinions, and they are the best opinions in the world. See? You feel the same way, don't you? Your opinions are the best opinions. But I'm telling you, the way of salvation is doing the will of God, staying with the Word of God, and insisting. And you know that since Jeff and Ida are going to be in a new work, and we do wish them well. We're going to beat them up just before they leave, but we wish them the very best. But we're going to have to find someone to stand in this place. I'm honored to be here today. I'm thankful to be able to talk to you, not only as a preacher, but as a shepherd. One of our shepherds. And I assure you that if I make mistakes, I'll have three other shepherds on my case. I believe that because I believe in their faith. But let's pray about all of these things. And remember, it is the work of God. And remember that the Word of God is the most powerful Word on earth. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Doesn't matter what kind of uniform you have on, if you don't have the sword of the Spirit to destroy the works of the devil, you'll lose. May God bless you as you endeavor to do what God wants you to do. I hope this encourages you as it does me over and over again. And if for any reason you need assistance in helping you, maybe to put on the armor, maybe to take the sword, then we're here to help. And if you need our help, please come and tell us so as we stand together and sing.